Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Taylor Merrick Podcast, the 3-in-1 podcast on finances, business, and technology. Podcasting to you from the studios of TaylorMerrick.com, located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Here's your host, Taylor Merrick.
Hello and welcome to episode number 2 in the Taylor Merrick Podcast. For today's lineup, we will be talking about goals and planning for finances. For business, it will be setting up systems. And for technology, we talk about general questions to ask potential website designers if you're going to have a website done. So to get started in the finances, for goals and planning, you need to have a plan for investing, sort of a investing account. You know how you have a savings account, you also need to have an investing account where excess money, money that is left over after all expenses are paid, money that you can, that you would usually go out and buy something with or put it in a savings account, you can go and take that and put it into an investing account. An investing account could, you could very well just go into a bank and set up a savings account, but to you, it'll be an investment account where you'll put money in there every month. That's money that will be put aside so that you can buy investments, real estate, stocks, maybe startup funds for a business that you are going to be developing. But it's a good idea to have an investing account. And along those lines, I heard a very popular financial person talk about piggy banks, having 3 piggy banks. That person is Robert Kiyosaki of Rich Dad Poor Dad. And with the piggy banks, said you have 3 piggy banks. One is for saving, one is for tithing, and one is for investing. And so all the money that you make that is after expenses, you would split it. After you pay your expenses, it would be split 3 ways, and a third would go into investing piggy bank, and a third would go into a charity piggy bank. It's very important to give back, because it's the law of reciprocity or something like that, where you give and you shall receive. So it's very important to give. And then you'd also put a third into savings for protection, that it would be your emergency fund, so that if something happens, you can go and pull the money from that bank and you don't have to worry about it. But what I would like you to do, yeah, I'm already asking stuff of listeners here, but what I would like you to do is create a financial goal of where do you want to be with your finances in X amount of time, years, months. Then you construct a plan around it, but you create a financial goal, where do you want to be in the future? You still want to be working as an employee? Or do you want to be rich and be in investments of the rich and building businesses and running businesses? But you need to write down a financial goal and hold on to it and keep it always in front of your eyes so that you remember, okay, I'm going for this financial goal so that I do not have to worry about finances anymore. And then after you have written that financial goal down, and you go and you construct a plan around it, and I'm already getting in depth in the next podcast, because in episode number 3, that will be what the plan will be that you construct around your financial goal. But you need to have some goals for what you want to do with your finances, what you want to do for investing, what you want to do with your life, and you need to plan, start planning in for those, how to reach those goals. If you have a goal that you want to become financially free with no debt, well, then you need to develop a plan of saying, okay, this is how I'm going to get out of debt, this is how I'm going to do it, and so forth along those lines. But it is always good to have goals, and then you put a plan in motion to get to that goal. Sort of, the plan is your road, and the goal is your destination. That's what you want to do with your finances, so that you don't have to worry about your finances anymore, and, oh, am I going to have enough money for this, or are we going to be able to live on one more meal? You won't have to worry about that anymore once you have that goal in mind, and you make the plan towards it, and you follow through, and you reach your goal, and you won't have to worry about that for your finances anymore. And that can be a great benefit, because then you can worry about other things other than your finances. But that it is good to not have to worry about finances anymore. It lengthens your lifespan, because if you have to worry about your finances, it puts undue stress on you, and it drives you down the road to your grave quicker. And that is what will be covered in the finances for the next podcast. I will be talking about how you construct a plan around your goal and get that plan ready. Get your road ready to get to your goal. But need to have that goal in set, in place, ready to go, so that when you get your plan, you can hit the ground running. For business, be how to set up your system. Last week, I talked about how very important it is for every business to have a system, and how if you're an S quadrant business, then people like you for what you do, and if you're a B quadrant business, people like the company for what the company does, and not you, although it could be you also. But out today, I'll be talking about how to set a system up. And there's three things that you need to do in setting up your system. The first one that you want to do is get your mission statement for your business ready. Yeah, it sounds like a business plan, and it partially is, but the mission statement is the core idea of you founding this business. It is your aim, what you want for this company, why the company was developed for. You want it, the mission statement based upon universal values, as in helping other people, providing them what they need to live. Not money. If you have a mission statement to, yeah, I want to make money, well, then it ain't going to go very far. But you want a mission statement that is based upon values, upon that everybody recognizes. And, well, an example of a mission statement that I know is to elevate the financial well-being of humanity. And that is a mission statement of a company called Rich Dad. And people love working for that company. People enjoy that company because they are following through with the mission statement. And the mission statement came from the business owner. He set that up, mission statement, to elevate the financial well-being of humanity. And it is working very well. And did you notice it's not, so I can make more money to put into more investment vehicles. It's something to benefit, in a sense, the entire world, the entire universe. And the mission statement along those lines will last, and people will recognize it, and like it, and side with your company and get products from you. Number two, for a system setup, is you'll do your organizational chart. Now what that is you're gonna look, you're gonna sort of futurize your company, look at your company in the future, when the company's all developed and it's all done, what sort of positions are there gonna be? Are there gonna be shareholders, CEOs, vice presidents, managers, employees? And what you'll do is you'll start from, you'll get a piece of paper out, and you wanna, of course, you'll write down your mission statement on that piece of paper. Then you also write down your organizational chart, and at the top, you will have what the highest level of your company is, what it is going to be, what if it's going to be CEO, and CEO would be at the top. If it was going to be a shareholder, then you'd write shareholder up at the top. Things like that. And then you'll go down the line to, like, vice president of marketing. And that would be in a department itself. You go to vice president of sales. Well, maybe sales. Vice president of human resources, if you're going to be hiring employees. Vice president of customer service. Things like that. That would be below your top level. That would be sort of second level. And then you would do third level, which could be managers, if you're going to have it like that. And in managers, you could have assistants, and then below that would pretty much, you'd work yourself all the way down from the top to the bottom, where the bottom is the employees that are actually working the company. And in a sense, the organizational chart would start to look like a pyramid, where all the employees are at the bottom, and as you go higher up, you reach, it goes into manager if you have that, vice president, if you have that, CEO and shareholder, if you have that, would go all the way up to the top. And it's very important because then if you have a business, you would, in a sense, put yourself into every single position and you would work on that position. And that would move then into the third step for setting up a system, is writing out the policy and procedures manual for each position that there's going to be. Now, if you're a one-person company, well, then you would most likely be every single position. You would be CEO, vice president of everything, assistant of everything, manager of everything, employee of everything, all the departments. And you'll start at the bottom writing out the manuals and you'll work your way up. Now, what would you put in those manuals? It would be policies and procedures for that position. Let's say you have an assistant. Assistant of accounting. Accounting's assistant. Whatever one that is for an example. But what you would put in that manual is how should that person dress, when should they come, how long will they stay, how should they act, and you don't want to be too tight on how they act. You want to let person show through with influence of your company and that employee. But it'd be a policy and procedures of, okay, you're responsible for this, and you do this, and you are accountable to the person above you to provide that person above you with all the information necessary that the position above you needs. So, in a sense, you would write down every single little thing that accountant's assistant would be responsible for, have to do, how to dress, how to look like, how to act, how they should feel if they are going to be with other clients, if the client or press along that, and then once you get that manual ready, and it might be pretty thick, but that's okay, usually the more detailed the better, because then that employee knows what they should expect out of it. And then what you would do is you would have that manual ready, and you would back yourself out of that position, out of accountant's assistant, and you would hire somebody to be accountant's assistant. And when you hired that person, they would come in. Of course, you should do how any employer, when they hire people, that process, once you finally find the right employee, one that you know is absolutely 100% able to take on this position, you would then hire him or her, and you would sit down, and you would, for one day, although it could be however you want it to be, but you would sit down, and you would talk with that employee, hand them the manual, and summarize what is in the manual. Then you would also talk about your mission statement and how you plan on impacting the world. Pretty much what you want to do is you want to immerse your employee, you want to spend a day immersing your employee into what you feel this company is about, that this company is a living, breathing soul, and you need to respect it and follow the rules, and if you do, you get benefited. Things like that, but you want to spend a good amount of time with that employee, immersing them and in your mission statement, in their manual, preparing them to be ready to take on the position of accountant's assistant with eagerness and joyfulness, and they're just act just like the perfect employee how you would want that employee to be. And then you're out of that position of employee, out of accountant's assistant, and you go back up to accountant, or wherever, whatever you have for your departments and employees. But in a sense, what you do is you would start at the bottom of the pyramid, write out manuals for each and every single one of those positions, and as time goes on, you would bring in the people that would take over those positions. You spend a day with them and immerse them in their manual and their mission statement so that they are the employee that you envision for this company, how the company should be working. And you'd back yourself up, gradually going closer and closer and closer to the top. CEO or a shareholder, whichever position that you want to end with, and whatever position that you want to stay in, you don't write anything for, like, if an employee is going to be coming in. If you wanted to be the CEO, that's it. I'm the CEO. Nobody else is going to be, or I'm going to be a shareholder. Nobody else is going to be. You're going to back yourself up until that position is reached. All the positions below are covered. with employees that you've hired. You're in the position that you want to be, and hopefully it's a position that you chose that you can go off for a year on a vacation, come back and find your company running even more profitable than it was the year before. Now, if you're a CEO, that could be a bit complicated, but the true definition of having a B-quadrant business, what every business should be is a B-quadrant business, a big business, but the definition of a big business to leave that business for a year, come back and find it running even better than it was the previous year. And that's how you set systems up. You start with that mission statement, you write it down, keep it in front of you all times when you're working on your business, and you want that mission statement on a value, not money, if it's just a pursuit to make money, and then the employee's gonna look at it, and the employee's gonna be like, oh, I don't wanna work for you, I quit, something like that, and then you got no employee. But you want a mission statement as universal values, something people can connect with on a personal level. And the second thing in setting up your system is writing out your organizational chart and keeping that, how and the entire organization is going to look like when you're finished, when your company has reached a level that you want it to reach. You're saying, yes, this is it, this is my company, the end goal. And the last thing to set up is a policy and procedures manual for each and every position that you are not going to be in. And keep all three of those things close by at hand when you're working on your business so that you don't get tied up of working in your business, because you want to be working on your business and how to improve it and how to let other people run the business and take it over so that you have more time to spend on other things. And a website that I would recommend is www.e-mysmyth.com. That's a great website on setting up a system so that your business works for you and you work on your business. And that is it for business. For technology, products are coming soon. I will be letting you know of the results of the testing along the way, and when the product is finally tested out and finished, I will then give a full detailed report on that product, on what, 53 tests that I've done on it, however many. But it's going to be a detailed, comprehensive report on it. And just so there's a heads up, there will be an advertisement that will play so that you can go and pick up that product if that was recommended very well. If all of a sudden you hear an advertisement, that's because I recommend this particular company and where you can get the product from, for how much, and all the details on that. And I'll also let you know about if it's written in an article, the review on that on opinions.com or on my website, taylormerrick.com. But anyway, into the topic that I was supposed to be talking about, web designers. Some general questions to ask a potential designer for designing your website. These questions aren't in from top priority to least priority. These are just some general questions that you want to ask them. One of the questions that you want to ask them are they graphic designers? Do they have background in website design, development, hosting, servers, and all that? If they're a graphic designer, they're usually pretty good at providing what you need, what you would want your site to look like. But then again, a graphic designer maybe not. But so you would like to know if they are a graphic designer. And another one that you would want to know is, okay, are the website designers, are they going to give you a template-based website? Sort of like, oh, here's a piece of the cookie cutter. I made all these cookies. They're same pattern. Ah, here's one for you. And it's not unique and catered to your company. If it's a template-based, depending on a template, if you like it or not, it might be a good thing, but you want something that has the feel of your company, how your company feels to you, the business owner, the employees, and your company's clients. You want it to be felt that way, and templates usually don't do that, but some do. And depending on what you want, templates could be good or not. Another question that you'd want to ask a designer is the website going to be built to your needs? Are they catering to what you want rather than what the designers want? They want it built to your needs. I actually know of a company that does just that. Company will sit down with you, get the feel of how you feel the company is, how the employees feel the company is, and how the clients feel how the companies feel their look, their style, all that. That company is actually a just starting out, very recent company. If you would like to know what that company is, you can contact me. But that company, it takes all three of those feelings from you, the owner, employee, and the client, and it merges them all together into a website that is catered to how it's supposed to look, how that company feels. It'll get just the right touch, the right feel. Another general question that you would want to ask is, how big is the website designers? Have they designed a lot of websites, or have they not? Another question that you would want to ask is contracts. If they write a contract, that usually means that they are not going to skip town and just leave you hanging, because a contract holds you and them together, and a contract is a very good thing for a website designer to have if you're going to do it that way, instead of just going and getting a website from a designer that's a fly-by-night. Contracts solidify the company and you, and contracts work out all the better. And as a general tip, what you want to do is interview clients that the website designers have designed the websites for. You can interview them and ask the clients many questions. Are they happy with their website? Did the website do what the website designer said it was going to do? Like, just ask them a whole bunch of questions so that you can get a feel of, is this the right website designer? And that is it for technology. This technology topic might be longer or shorter depending on if I have a product that I want to let you in on. But that is it for the technology. Thank you for listening to the second episode in the Taylor Merrick podcast. If you have any questions, email me at taylor@taylormerrick.com. That's taylormerrick.com. As a teaser, I will go through how to set up a business and plug your system into it next time. And all the fun about setting up a company and running it and getting your system into it is a very, very fun thing to be doing once you get a hold of the system. Now we're going to be doing a top business, setting it up, and it would be ready. If you would like to subscribe to this feed, I will have it posted on my website, taylormerrick.com. I plan on coming out with the insider version with more detailed topic on finance. business and technology, where I'll go more in-depth. But for the time being, I'm Taylor Merrick, and I'll see you next week.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.